T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
All right, 12:07 on The Fan, lunch hour, hour 3 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the midday. 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We hit the 1 o'clock CMB. Will come your way. Mike after that. Anthony Gallo, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. And the great Eddie Coleman is brought to you by Bay Ridge Honda, one of the dealerships proudly owned by Robbie Sabah in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. By CSEA Local 830, we work for you. By the locally owned and operated Papa John's, proud partner of the New York Mets. And by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. Eddie C. Eddie, how are you?
Good, Joe. Good. Hello, Ev. How
Eddie. Well, we're doing well. The Mets are actually
hot. How about a sweep? Stunning. How about that? A three-game sweep?
Swept them away. And how about this? They actually have a chance to make up ground on Atlanta and Philly, who will play each other. Whoever thought I'd be saying that on May 21st?
There you go. That is true.
And the Mets are ahead of the Nationals.
Yep.
It's kind of weird how the NL East is looking right now. This was a good weekend, and I think what was very encouraging yesterday was Noah Syndergaard. And Noah hasn't been bad by any stretch, but there have been performances where you feel like you need more. Five innings wasn't enough, and all he really did was keep you in the game. This felt like more of a dominant Noah Syndergaard yesterday.
I thought he was very good. I thought he threw the curveball more yesterday, and it was a pretty good one, too. You know how Mickey Callaway likes curveballs, and he mixed that in pretty well. He mixed, two-seamer, four-seamer. I think the slider was better, too. So, he pitched yesterday. He did a good job. Strikeouts weren't high, but, he got contact. He got outs. That's what you need. He went deep in the game. That four-pitch inning was kind of weird. I think, a lot happened. I think it was the fifth inning. They had
fifth.
I mean, there was an error and what else? Sacrifice and then a single and Bruce threw a guy out of the plate.
Yep.
And then a little chopper in front of the. It was four pitches. All of a sudden, a lot happened in three outs and four pitches. But he got through that inning and then I was able to go 6-7 and finish strong. So he did a great job yesterday. Really did a good job.
Yeah, he did. There's no doubt about it. Now, Conforto, I know he went 0-4 yesterday, but he's had kind of a little bit of a breakout ever since he hit that home run in Philadelphia. He had that 4-for-4 game Friday night, the two RBIs, hits a home run off a lefty on Saturday night. Maybe he's starting to find it finally, Eddie. What about that?
I think he didn't get the ball out of the infield yesterday, I don't think. I think he popped out and grounded
right,
out three
right.
times. I always say this. I never worry about him. I think he's going to be fine because he's a hitter. I mean, he's going to find his stroke. I think it's taken some time. He obviously, had a good weekend overall despite yesterday. I think the signs are pointing up for him. I think that even, before that, he was hitting some balls hard. So I think he'll be fine. I think he probably snaps back from that 0-for tonight. We'll see. But I don't worry about him too much. I think he's going to be okay.
You look at this outfield right now with the injuries that they have, not having Yoenis Cespedes, not having Juan Lagares, and it makes it incredibly left-handed. Even when you're facing a lefty like Patrick Corbin, you've got to run out lefties. And even Dom Smith working out in the minors in AAA, he's another lefty. Why hasn't Jose Reyes, whose roster spot you have to think is getting tenuous by the day, especially because Luis Guillerme looks pretty damn good, and you love him, and I think most Met fans are going to learn to love him. Why wouldn't Reyes be a guy who starts to become a factor in the outfield? Because I think that could kind of add more value to him right now on this roster.
No, I think they're waiting for his bat to wake up, and it hasn't. In pinch hitting spots or when he's gotten a start, it just hasn't. It hasn't been there. I was a little surprised, because Callaway mentioned the other day when he was talking about guys you could shift to the outfield. He mentioned Wilmer before he mentioned Jose. And again, Wilmer has played out there a little bit, but, you know, probably not that much more than Jose has, you know, and just trying to work it into things. So I'm a little surprised that hasn't happened. And you see managers, too. You know, yesterday, I think it was Corey Lovello, wanted to get through Rosario because you had lefties galore at the top of the lineup. I mean, what, five of the first six guys, I think, were left-handed. Flores was the only guy who was hitting from the right-hand side. So that's what Lovello wanted to do. He wanted to get through Rosario and then go to the lefty, go to McFarland out of the pen. But Rosario kind of spoiled that with a home run, which was nice. But, you know, you're going to see that a lot because you're left-handed prevalent.
Eddie, the DL guys, Todd Frazier, I know he could come off any time. What's the timetable on him, and what's the day Yoenis could come back?
Yoenis can come back this week, I think, Joe. I'm not sure exactly the day. I'll try to check that. Frazier is going to go down and have a rehab game at some point. He thinks he's pretty close, but they haven't set a date for that at this point. Cespedes is retro to May 14th, so what's the 24th? The 24th is, what, Wednesday? So, you know, maybe, probably Milwaukee, I guess.
Right. Is he on track? Is just Cespedes on track right now?
I think he's on track, yeah. I've seen him hitting in the cage.
Right,
he seems
right.
to be okay. He said he was fine yesterday, so he seems to be on track. I mean, I thought Frazier might be on track, but that's going to take a little more time, but I guess, you know, when they hit the road here, that'd be nice. I mean, it's a good hitter's park in Milwaukee, so it's a good place to go, plus Atlanta after that. So you'd like to have him for that. I would assume he's going to be pretty close.
It's going to be a very tough stretch once they're done with Miami, not just because of the teams they're playing, Milwaukee and Atlanta and Chicago, but they have to play a lot of games in a limited amount of days with the doubleheader in Atlanta, which means they need a sixth starter. Is it fair to assume that Seth Lugo, who has been brilliant out of the bullpen, he really has. He's been great. Is it safe to assume he is the sixth guy, and if effective, could eventually take Jason Vargas's role?
I think that's it's probably fair to say. I mean, I think he's going to start that second game on Monday in Atlanta. Kelly even said yesterday that, you know, Gesellman would get a start at some point in time during the year, and you would expect that. They've both been starters.
No. Why? Why would they do that? Gesellman's been great. He has more of a role, I think.
Gesellman's been unbelievable.
I think he does. He's become more or less the eighth inning guy.
Right.
But I think that those are two guys that you can count on. If you need a start, you can. I think you could slide him in for a start. I'm not saying he'd become a starter. I'm just saying you could slide him in for a start if you need it, because they do have doubleheaders coming up. They have one on Monday. And like I said, I think Lugo will be the guy to pitch one of those games. They have Flexen up here now in case, you know, he can pick up some innings. He hasn't pitched yet, but he can pick up some innings out of the pen. Gesellman is pretty much, well, he settled into that eighth inning role pretty much. You know, he did it yesterday and actually got the save. They kept him in for the final three outs, and he struck out the sign in the ninth inning. But he's done that a couple of times over the last, you know, three or four outings that he's had. He pitched the eighth in the Grom's game on Friday, and Familia got the save. And then he pitched the eighth, on the Cincinnati. Yeah, when that 7-6 game they won. The only game they won in Cincinnati, he came in and pitched the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, for that matter. But I think they're relying on him more for that spot.
Yeah, the leash on Vargas can't be long. I mean, he's pitching tonight. I got no confidence. It'd be nice if he actually got out of the first inning without giving up any runs. That would be a plus. But what about that? I know you got the doubleheader coming up, but what about that with Vargas? I mean, how long can he be for this rotation, Ed?
He'll get this start, probably get another one too, and hopefully this one goes good or better than the first three. That's for sure.
Could it be worse?
Probably not. Mickey mentioned the other day that, this is on. I mean, he threw down the gauntlet to the guys past DeGrom and Syndergaard, you know, and basically said, you know, they've got a pitch. If we want to do well, these guys have to pick up the slack. And Vargas would be one of those guys. If he's in the rotation, you know, he's part of that with Mattson Wheeler. So those are the guys that have to pick it up. So the gauntlet's been thrown down, so we'll see if he responds. But Island expects him to pitch better. I think he knows him well. We'll see tonight. I can't judge by a simulated game, but he's ready to go tonight. We'll see.
And they have no problem if he's ineffective, which the odds are he will be ineffective. The odds are he's going to not pitch well tonight, and the odds are even higher that in his next start he's going
to
be worse.
Well, I have a positive attitude to take.
Well, how could you not be? How could you have confidence in that guy, Ed?
The guy's
on
BP this season.
Been terrible.
But when,
I don't know. Yeah, he hasn't thrown well in three starts, that's for sure.
When that happens, let's say it's about a 75% shot that Jason Vargas is terrible. 75%. So I'll give him the 25% he turns it all around. And trust me, I hope he does. I'd love to be wrong about this. I don't want to be right. But if he's terrible, like we all expect, the Mets are going to have no issue, despite the fact they're paying him shekels, moving him to the bullpen, even though his bullpen role will probably be as a mop-up guy. That Sandy Alderson isn't going to have an issue doing that, even though that was one of his big free agent signings this offseason.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, listen, anybody who doesn't pick up the slack as a starter is going to end up there eventually, for sure. You know, he's and that would be his role, yeah. I mean, he'd have to pick up innings out there and probably in blowout games. That's what you'd have to do, but, you know, see how he pitches tonight. We'll find out. Like I said, you know, you look back at last year, and yeah, you look at 18 wins, a lot of that in the first half, and the second half not great, even though he pitched a little better in September. So you hope that he finds that somehow in tonight's game.
Now, let's give a little love to Mizoraco, who actually, has had some big home runs. I mean, he hit that big stunningly, because I thought they were Saturday night. You know, Mats gives it up again. He can't get out of it, you know, beyond the fourth inning. You know, the whole deal gives up that home run to Ryan Murphy and all of that, John Ryan Murphy, all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he has the guy picked off, and then they can't get the guy out. Woman makes a bad throw, the whole deal. But give him his rock. I mean, I was shocked. I mean, when he hit that home run, I almost fell down. I mean, I have to say. So he's had three home runs as a Met, all in games they won. So I'm gonna give a little love to him right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a small sample, but three home runs, five RBIs, seven runs scored. That's pretty good offensive production. So he's been a great acquisition, but they're probably more impressed with what he's done behind the plate and handling the pitching staff. They even kept Nito here, brought him back up. And kept him here.
Got a big hit yesterday, Nito.
Yeah, basically for, to learn from Mizoraco. He prepares very well. Pitchers all say that, too. You know, he's very prepared for games, watches a lot of film. Knows what guys are going to go up against and what their weaknesses would be coming into the game. So, you know, they like that. They like that a lot. Obviously, that's very appealing to both Callaway and Island. So he's done a great job thus far. It's been a great acquisition for him, and we'll see if he keeps up. But he's, you know, yeah, I think, you know, part of it, too, is just the fact he was kind of buried in Cincinnati, got off to a great start there, signed a big contract, and then, you know, has been hurt and got buried there. You go to a new place, breath of fresh air. So it's different for him. And he's got a new life here, and he's been given a chance to be the number one guy. So, you know, he's taking it and run with it. Good for him.
Absolutely. That'd be great. I mean, because he was so bad for so long that if he could turn his career around, especially for a team that was in such desperate need for a catcher, that would be a check mark next to Sandy Alderson.
Yes,
that's for
clearly.
Sure.
Oh, listen, everybody's in need of catchers. You know, there aren't that many teams that aren't looking around for some kind of catching depth, at least. And so, you know, he's done a great job. He's come in here and taken things over. So he'll play a lot. You know, if he continues this, he's going to play a lot.
I have to take back a prediction, because I think I said to you last week that eventually the Mets will end up with Wilson Ramos. But he's hit so much lately that I bet you his value is way too high now, and the Mets won't get him. He has six home runs. He's hitting .280, and that was after a bad start. Yeah, so forget it. The Mets aren't getting Wilson Ramos.
No, you never know. I mean, what was he making? $10 million, I think, at the beginning of the year, and it should be down, you know, in half at the trading deadline. So you never know. But I didn't think they would be in a hurry to trade him simply because he was playing that well. And he has played very well. And they're playing well, too. Tampa's playing well.
I know. Yeah. Though I will say Ramos would fit right in, because he has allowed 17 stolen bases and has only thrown one guy out. So he would fit very well with the Mets' inability to throw anybody out.
They've actually picked more guys off than they've thrown out, right?
I know. It's true. I think you're right about that. Right.
Hey, I would say, well, you know, kudos. One thing I forgot to mention about Noah yesterday, kudos to him, because Dyson was on three times yesterday and never stole. They did get one, so I think it was Owings who stole a base.
Yeah, that was it.
First inning after the walk, but he stranded him. But I was surprised. I figured Dyson would kill at least, you know, a couple of times anyway, and he didn't. He buried his throws over. He did a good job of holding them on. So that's a plus.
Will we ever see Callaway allow like Syndergaard and DeGrom to maybe get to 120 pitches in a game? I mean, is that seriously, Ed? Is that like too much to ask?
No, I do. I think you do. I think eventually that you know, if you have one of those games that you're in a game, you know, like Jake went out for the seventh the other day when I thought that they were going to take him out after six, but he wanted to go back out. He has to go back out and did. And finish the seventh. But, you know, you're in one of those games, in a tight game, and he's got his stuff and feels good. Yeah, I think they would. You know, I don't think they do it on a regular basis. But, yeah, I think you'd push a guy to do, you know, 110, 115, 120 or something like that, depending on the circumstance. I think they would, yeah.
I'd like to see it. I mean, we still haven't seen it yet. Because even with Jake the other night, and you mentioned how Callaway was going to take him out, and Jake pushed his way back in. It's not like his pitch count was 105 and he was pushing his way back in. It was in the 90s when he pushed his way back in. So it was still really low. And it feels when you watch a game, maybe not tonight with Vargas because he stinks, but with DeGrom and Syndergaard, like you're watching them pitch against the clock, and the clock is the pitch count. And you know that if the opponent could foul off enough pitches, if the opponent can make this guy work enough, if they can get it to 100, they can get him out of the game. And that stinks because... Yeah, it'd be nice to see. Noah Syndergaard has never completed a game. Jacob has completed two of them. And it's not their fault. I'm not blaming them for it. But it's deeply frustrating as a baseball fan that that's the world we live in. And I know Callaway's not the only guy. I get that. But the other night, I watched Scott Servais push James Paxton. He was at 110 pitches, and he let him pitch the ninth. It was stunning to see. And I think he got to about 120. Something like that would be great to see. And I know you expect it, but I don't know. I'm skeptical till I see it actually happen with this guy.
Is Eddie still there? I think Eddie's gone.
Sorry, Eddie. He was bored by my diatribe.
What happened to Eddie?
I apologize. I think we lost him.
Eddie's cell phone crapped down?
Probably.
Is he back?
But he agrees.
Eddie's back. Are you back, Ed? Eddie's not back. Oh, there you are. No, there's Eddie. What happened, Ed?
Did I bore you, Eddie? I apologize.
No, I was excited. I listened to your entire diatribe.
Sorry, man. No, I'm passionate about it. It bothers me.
I was going to say with Jake the other day, I think, you know, the thing, he wasn't at his best in the sixth inning. You know, I mean, it was a little shaky sixth inning.
Yes, yes.
But they sent him back out. But I think the thing was, you know, he had gone, you know, four innings, the DL, the one inning, you know, just the whole thing. So I think that's why they were concerned about it. But I listen, he's proven that he's fine. And I think with Noah, honestly, the pitch count has been the thing with him. I mean, you look up all the time and, you know, through four innings, he's at, you know, 60-something pitches a lot of times. And that's why yesterday that four-pitch inning, like, came out of nowhere.
Yep.
A lot happened, but, you know, there were four pitches and three outs. So, bingo, all of a sudden then he got through the sixth and the seventh. So, you know, I think if the pitch count comes down a little bit or he gets some outs earlier in the count, you know, he'll go deeper in the games. I think both of them will. Yeah, I don't think they have any fear of doing that as the season goes on. I mean, you get into May, June, July, I think you might see games like that.
Mm. Eddie, it's always a pleasure, Ed.
Guys, listen, we'll see if they can keep this up tonight. That'll be
Let's
nice
hope so. It'd be nice to get like a sweep of the Marlins before they go on this road trip. You know, that would be good.
That would be
By
nice.
The way, Eddie, now Francesa is tweeting every 5 minutes, are you going to get on Twitter?
You're not on Twitter either, Ed?
I'm on Twitter occasionally. I am on Twitter.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, you are. You have a Twitter account?
I do.
Okay. Is it a secret account?
No, it's not a secret account. No, I'm out there. I'll give it to Ernie. You know, you can.
But you wouldn't give it on the air, so it's not like a public account. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no, it's a public account.
How do you have a non-public Twitter
account?
Well,
I don't mean non-public, but you don't promote it. You know, it's not. Well, hey, I'm Eddie C. Hey. Maybe you hide it and you say you're at, you know, blah blah blah.
I'll give you mine. If you want it on the air.
Yeah, right? I'm sorry. What is your Twitter account?
All right, it's Eddie Eddie.
Right.
Underscore.
C.
07.
Eddie underscore C07.
There you go.
I don't see you there. Oh, there you are.
You got him?
You don't even have a picture. You have an egg. What's up with that? You only have six followers, Eddie. What are you doing?
I don't use it much. That's why. Well, maybe I'll have more now.
Oh, you're definitely going to have more. Now everybody, you got to follow.
You load it up.
Eddie underscore C07. His last tweet was 21 hours ago. Can I read your tweet?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Sure.
As Drubal Cabral with a pinch hit home run, 2-run shot, gives the Mets a 3-1 lead in the seventh. Then Ahmed Rosario homers again, second of the year in game, B2B and belly to belly, Mets lead 4-1.
Nice.
In deference to John Sterling, yes.
There you go.
Well, now, hold on. I
back to back, belly to belly.
Yes, no, we understand.
Now, would you like to know the six people that Eddie C. is following? This is controversial. Are you ready for this? He follows the Yankees, Aaron Judge, Didi Gregorius, Odell Beckham, Kevin Burkhardt, and Noah Syndergaard.
Wow.
You follow Yankees in one Met.
Really? And Odell Beckham, no less.
OBJ. Well, you got to know what OBJ is doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see the ball out of the ballpark the other day in Anaheim. Did you see that?
Monster shot.
Yeah. Wearing his Tampa Bay.
Yes. Devil Rays.
Yeah, the Devil Rays. Yeah. It was a throwback. Yeah. Well, the Devil Rays or whoever the heck they want to call themselves, let us sign them up.
By the way, Eddie, you're exploding. At the beginning of this interview, you had six followers.
What's he up to? 12 now?
Are you ready? He's at 145 followers.
Boy, Eddie,
in a minute.
You see what we did for you, Eddie?
Oh, boy. Tremendous, Joe. Just what I need.
Now I'm following you.
Well, first of all, you shouldn't be on Twitter. You got to be like me. This never happened. That will never be on Twitter, Eddie. Never.
I know. Listen, well, I pop on occasionally when I feel like it.
Yeah. All right.
All right, you're exploding. Now I'm tweeting
it's
your name
over,
out
Ed.
There. You're over 200 already.
You're already threatening. You're threatening Katy Perry already. You really are, Ed.
See what you've done?
I did not think that you were on Twitter. If I didn't know you were on Twitter, then no one would know you're on Twitter.
Well, when you don't tweet very often, you tweet once in a blue moon. That's what happens, you know?
Yeah. Now you got to put a picture up there because you got an egg. You got to put a picture up there, Eddie.
I'll take a picture.
Pop one up there, Ed.
Forget Francesa. Eddie C. is on Twitter.
Eddie's got Mike's got a picture on, doesn't he?
He does. Yes, he does. And he's verified already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, I got to check that out.
Mike exploded from a follower standpoint.
I'm actually
surprised how high he's gotten. He's going to pass me in a week.
Why would you be surprised?
I'm surprised.
Mike.
I think he did it from Twitter headquarters. Didn't
he did?
It wasn't the first one.
That's right. He did the first. Exactly right.
He did. Eddie, we got to run, but always good talking.
All right, guys.
See you, Eddie.
Eddie C.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.